Welcome to Da Vinci's Discourse, where the minds of today's most innovative entrepreneurs are unveiled and explored. And my name is Kyle Campbell, your guide on this journey into the depths of the entrepreneurial psyche. So sit back, relax, and get ready to dive into the minds of the greats. This is Da Vinci's Discourse.
Cool, brother. Austin, dude, it's good to have you here, man. So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself? What do you do? And most importantly, what do you love about what you do?
Yeah, awesome. Well, I own a video marketing agency, and so I help coaches mostly tell stories through their social media every day. So all the daily posts that you see on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, all of the podcast content that they're posting out, my team can kind of take on and handle that. And what I love being able to help a client create an audience, create a super loyal audience. And usually it takes a little bit of time, but once they have like this fan base, it is very, very exciting when you get to that point. And, you know, you'll post a video and you have all these comments, or you have people who sign up to be a client and they're like, yeah, I found you from your podcast, or I found you from, like, that's just super rewarding. So I think what I love the most is helping connect the followers to an influencer. And that's been very fun and rewarding.
I love it, man. That's so cool. So let's say that I'm a company that wants to start generating an audience online, but doesn't have the traction yet, or I've tried posting, but I'm not getting many views. What would you tell me to do to start? And we can kind of walk through the process step by step in terms of how we would start to generate an audience and then transition them into buyers.
Yeah. I think the first thing is most people don't really have a content system. They think of social media as like, oh, I got a post. And so they'll make a post and they'll send it out. And then they spent like a few hours doing that. And then the next day they wake up, they got to do the same thing. Oh, what should I post today? Right. And it's just kind of sporadic. And we all know the pain of having to be active on social, but not knowing what to do or wanting to do it. Mm-hmm. And so what I usually help people do is come in with, I'll bring like 30 content ideas to a film day, right? I'll say, this is what we're filming today. And we try to knock it out in one day so that people don't have to be thinking about that every day, you know, about social. They can focus on their business. And then they just have one day that's very purposeful. And so on that film day, we'll knock out 30 videos, 60 videos. My record is 90 in 2.5 hours.
Filming, no shit. 90 in two and a half hours. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pumping it out, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. So we try to knock it out on one day. And then, you know, if they have the resources, the company will then hire us to do the editing and the posting. And they can be hands off from that film day. They can be hands off. If they don't have the resources, then I still recommend, you know, get a system to where you can batch edit. You know, find a software that'll help you batch edit. And then same thing with posting, find a software that'll help you post. And so the biggest thing I recommend is build that system and do it in batches, because it really can change you from that daily, oh, what should I post, to being showing up every day on social without even having to think about it too much.
Right. So how do you know what content to create in that day? Like in that 2.5 hour chunk that you pumped out 90 pieces of content, let's say that I wanted to formulate I'll take a day to create all this content and be able to have all of this generated without me having to do it every day. How do I know what content to start creating that will be well absorbed and taken in well by the audience and then be shareable and be, you know, value providing, hopefully? How do I know what content to start with?
That's a great question. I mean, sometimes when I'm looking for content ideas, I'll go to TikTok search and put in some filters like the last 3 months, you know, the most relevant, or YouTube search and see what people have enjoyed, what's been evergreen. Sometimes I will go to AI and ask it to bounce off ideas based on, you know, the info I put in on my client. But almost always I want to look at analytics. And so if they've done stuff in the past that has worked, and that's why this content system is the first step, you know, post 30 videos, even if you don't know what you're doing, and then you can see, oh, this one worked, this one didn't. You really have to be able to test. So analytics is always my favorite place to go. But you know, all it really takes is just an idea. You could be watching a reel and be like, oh, I could probably do that for my business, and then write it down. And you really just need that hook, that idea, to be able to make a full video out of that.
Okay. So What do you think about going to your competitors, finding out what's worked for them, what's working for them, and be able to model that instead of having your own analytics? You can leverage third-party
Yeah,
analytics.
absolutely. I think with that, the biggest thing is if you're going to competitors in your industry, maybe copy the topics. You can copy even like a hook. You could rephrase a hook and use the hook that worked for them at the first sentence of the video. But I wouldn't probably copy the format of a video because let them do that. But I would copy a format from a video if they're not a competitor. If it's some other, something completely unrelated, you can go and say, oh, that's a really funny skit. I could copy that exact same format and make it specific to my niche. And that's a way to make something new. If you're going to copy their format and their hook and their topic, then you're not making anything new and original. And that can actually be detrimental, right? And so, yeah, I'm all about borrowing ideas. There's no original ideas on social media. We're all just borrowing, doing our best to be active. And I'm all about that. If you see an idea from my account, steal the hook and change it to your niche. If you see an influencer with a funny skit, copy that format and make it about your niche. I think that's great.
So how do you find, because this is a major problem, is that people are starting from scratch and they don't necessarily have that data. So I think a
Yeah.
good place to start to find those analytics is the competitors. Now, how do you find what content pieces are working best for them? You go to their first of all, you find the right competitors that are
Yeah.
targeting the same target audience that you are, have those audiences. The way I look at it is, as you're modeling them, you're also absorbing the content and you're educating yourself in terms of what's working, yes, but also what kind of an individual they are. So that way you can leverage that to maybe build a relationship with them, to have a joint venture par or a partnership down the road. So you can say, hey, look it, I'm a big fan of A, B, and C specifically. We're in a similar industry. I wonder if we can work out some sort of joint venture where we can benefit each other. So it's there's a dual kind
Yeah.
of benefit there, right? You're learning what works, as well as getting the education of what you need to know about an individual to connect with them and maybe eventually leverage their audience if they let it happen, right? So that's one way to start generating traffic to it. We'll get into that next. Where I want to touch first is some automation tools that you would recommend in terms of automatically posting. So let's say I've taken the time to analyze all of the content that's worked for my competitors, and I've taken a day to fully film or to record in some way that same content. And I mean, content that's based on what's worked in the past, but being changed up for my business. I've got that day done. How do I go about automatically posting this without taking up too much time to all the social media channels? Or what would you
Yeah,
recommend there?
that's a great question. So right now I just started with Cloud Campaign as my posting tool. And the reason I like it is because I'm an agency. And with agencies, I like to have a specific brand portal that's specific to a client instead of I log into to something and I see everyone's social media accounts that I manage. I don't see that. I just see I'm logged into this one doctor client and I can see just his socials. And that's been really great. So I you there's a million different automation posting tools out there. You can use Later, Planoly, Vista Social, Hootsuite, HubSpot, they all have them. But I with video, I like to find one that works with all the platforms. And sometimes you can't post a vertical video on Facebook because they haven't built that integration. So just kind of look at the specs and make sure that you can get your videos out everywhere, because if you're spending time making the content, you might as well put it everywhere.
Right.
Is my feeling,
What about
especially
AI,
because,
dude? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
what
I
did you say?
interrupted you. Especially because what?
I just TikTok content style content has done so well that all the other social media platforms have now copied them, and it's a type of content that they all accept now. You could be on Pinterest posting a reel, you could be on Instagram posting a reel. It's all the same, and so you might as well, yeah, take advantage of it.
No kidding, right? And so, how do you leverage AI to maybe take a big piece of content, like a podcast, for example, and split it up into portions so that they can be distributed on all of the reels on the different platforms? Do you use
Yeah.
AI to automatically create the content or curate it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And we all want to use AI, right? I would be dying to use the AI tools if they existed. The tools that I use right now don't automate the whole process because they're just not good enough to do that yet. And so what I do is I'll use tools that speed up a certain part of the process and then take it into my editor and finish the job. And so I've used tools like Autopod, which will edit a podcast multiple angles, and that cuts my podcast editing in time, or in half the time it takes to edit that. I'm going this week. I'm experimenting again with Opus Clip.
Yeah.
You've probably heard of them. They about 6 months ago I used them and it was a terrible experience. I couldn't use anything from them. But I talked to the owners last week at an event, and everything I didn't like, they had changed, and they put in a new feature to where now I can export what Opus finds into Premiere Pro. And so this week I'm going to be working on building a set of operations that my team can use to throw in a podcast, find the clips that are good, take it into Premiere Pro and finish the job. Because it's still, again, it's not very good at the whole automated editing, but it can speed up a part of the process without lowering the quality. And that's the stuff I'm interested in with AI video. Sora came out last week, right? Or at least it was announced, their new version of it. And you've probably seen how good AI video is going to get this year when they actually allow us to have it. I'm interested in using those tools because they're not trying to automate the whole process. They're saving me time in one specific thing, finding B-roll, right?
Yeah.
So I'm totally going to be using that. But right now, my rule of thumb is don't use AI to automate the whole process, and only use AI if it saves me time without making the quality worse. And that's kind of my rule of thumb. If it's going to make the quality better, but it takes too much time, I'm not interested. And if it makes the quality worse, but it saves me time, I'm not interested. It has to kind of keep the quality where it's at, but save me time.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like you can use the AI tools, which it seems like it's saving you time. But if you actually analyze the two times together, it's like, well, yeah, the quality is, let's say it's you're able to get it the same, but it actually might take you longer with AI because you're there twiddling your thumbs away with the prompts and trying to figure out just the right way to do it. The way I do it is I templatize prompts. So I'll have a prompt that I've worked maybe one time. It took 2 weeks to write an entire prompt, multiple pages. But once it was ready, it's able to generate copy that's just absolutely stellar. And it's so then once you've got the template, then you can start to save time when it comes to implementing it. Do you use templates?
And I'm all for that. Like with text-based AI.
Yeah.
Like I get that there's a learning curve, and I've done the same thing. I spent 45 minutes building a script writer in ChatGPT, and now it can write scripts 80% of as good as I can.
Yeah.
And that's great. I just polish them off at the end, and it cuts my script writing time down by 20, 30, 40%. It's great. But with video tools, I think people are looking for something that'll do everything for them right now.
Yeah.
And it's just not the same as text-based AI. Like, with a video, and what's cool is this year we're diving into those tools. So right now a text-based editor will analyze a transcript and say, oh, this part sounded interesting, but they don't look at what is in the frame. They don't look at when people were laughing their heads off at something funny, right? But this year they're starting to include those features. And so the tools are going to get there. They're not there yet, but they're going to get there with video. And it's going to be awesome to see what they come up with when you can find the human elements and not just the text-based elements. But I'm totally with you with the text-based stuff. Like you can train it. It takes a little bit of time up front, but then it'll save you time in the long run.
Yeah, definitely, man. I can't wait to see what happens with the video portion of it. Cause I said, like, I just want to be able to upload a podcast, have already polished, ready to post videos that are just on the reels or on different platforms for every platform automatically generated from a podcast that was inputted. It's not there yet, but I want it to be there soon because you know how killer that would be. Hell yeah, man. And that's what's cool about generating content now with this podcast, for example, is that'll be able to be utilized when that is available. So I can just bulk upload and be able to generate all of the copy. Have you found a tool that you're able to bulk upload? And because this is the thing, like with Hootsuite, for example, if you wanted to make an Instagram post and schedule it, you'd have to upload it individually and be able to, write the description for it and have that posted at a certain date. But I want a tool that is, I'm able to upload 365 photos. And futuristically, the AI analyzes the text on each photo, maybe generates the photos, first of all, and then creates a relevant caption or relevant description for each photo and automatically posts them all. Even if the quality is 80%, it would be so killer to have that bulk upload feature.
That's really interesting. So right now, I believe the technology is there, but our on our user end, we don't have that, right? ChatGPT could probably do that with text. You could probably give it 300 blog articles, but it's coded in a way, and I don't understand any of it, but that it wants to create things and generate things, and it thinks that's what we want. So they built this user face to be like, okay, yeah, give it to you in 5 seconds. When what I really want is, no, take 10 minutes and think True. About it, right? Yeah, and instead, yeah. it's just always going. And so with ChatGPT, you have to realize that that's how they built the tool. It's probably smart enough to do it, but it's not going to, the tool is just not structured in a way to where I can do that. So I give it one script at a time. I give it revisions, and then I train it on the next one. I train it on the next one. Pretty soon, it's learned all the things, but I have to do it one at a time. I don't know of a tool text-based that does that yet, and I don't know of a tool photo-based that does that quite yet, but I believe the tech is there. It's just not unlocked for us as users quite yet.
Not yet, man. Hopefully soon. God damn it. Back in 2016, I was using a program called Follow Liker. It was on Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah, there, I don't know, you can still buy it, but it's not really, they haven't updated it in years. But what I could do is I could just upload 365 photos and have it, the entire year's content already just posted, ready to go every single day.
That's cool.
But the problem was I couldn't have the it would use the same series of descriptions per photo. So it wouldn't have a description that matched the photo. So it would have to kind of get creative and create the descriptions that matched any photo. And it worked. Yeah. But that's where I'm getting the inspiration from, because if I could have something like that is able to generate the description based on the photo content, and first of all, create the photos, I mean, that's where I see the future of it going. That'd be badass as all hell.
Yeah.
So let's say that I've got the content, I've taken that day, and let's say that I've leveraged one of these tools to be able to schedule out in the future. How do I start generating traffic to start building that audience out?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that's what everyone wants to know, is like, when do I get traffic? When do I get customers from social media? And I kind of look at it in two parts. There's the traffic content that gets new people in. You're going to get views. You're going to get followers. And those are good metrics to follow to see, is this working? You know, do people like it? Are we getting engagement? That type of thing. And then there's the actual conversion step where, like, when do they go from being a follower to, you know, becoming a client or becoming a customer type of thing? For most of my clients have a personal brand, whether they're doctors or a coach or, you know, a course creator, they have some sort of a personal brand, right? And they have both long form and short form. Short form content is going to bring those views, those followers, those new faces in a lot better than long form. But the podcast content, the video, the YouTube long form videos, those are going to be the pieces of content that really convert them into loyal followers. So it's almost two separate parts of the equation that you're looking at here. And so how long is it going to take? Well, how long does it take to get 100 podcast listeners? How long does it take to get 1,000 podcast listeners? That's kind of what you want to think about for the actual conversions. If you're just looking at traffic, you can probably in the first month, if you're experimenting every day, you can probably start to see what strategy is working and which one isn't, and be able to pivot so that next month is better. So it's almost immediate with short form. You can, within a matter of weeks and months, you can find that out. But again, you're not going to have instant loyalty, even if you have instant followers. You're not going to have instant conversions. And so you're looking at two parts of the equation, the followers. And then with long form, I would say 3 to 6 months at the minimum to really start to see it work. And then, I mean, if you do something for 18, 24 months, you're going to have a killer lead flow through organic if you're really dedicating that much time to it. And so it does take a few years to get a YouTube channel up and running. Like, there's no doubt about it. But once it's up and running, it's like the golden goose. And so, that's what I would say. It depends on your goals and it depends on which part of the equation you're looking at.
Right. So what I wonder is how you transition the people from the short form content, which is easier to start generating traffic immediately, to the long form content so that you can have both, you're getting your cake and you're eating it too, because you're getting the loyalty from the long form while also generating the traffic for the short term. How do I make the transition between the two?
That's a good question. So right now, if people don't have long form, the step is to start it, right? A lot of people will post just shorts and then they're like, oh, I'm not getting any business and I'm not getting any, you know.
Right.
So send them to something that's free, that's long form, that's going to give them more value based on the value they've already liked. And that's easy to do. If you're posting a clip from a podcast, I've got my phone off to the side filming me. I'm going to take a 30-second clip of this and probably post it as a short later this month, you know?
Yeah.
And so that we'll direct them to the full podcast episode, which they'll listen to, get the value from. And then, you know, so step one is creating both long form and short form content. And then step two is probably, yeah, just diverting it, you know, repurposing it so they know you have a podcast. If it's free and they're liking your shorts, they're going to like your long form.
Mm, that's an interesting point. So you're actually recording the podcast from your phone that you've got right now. So you've got it on a tripod or whatever. You're recording it vertically for the shorts, ready to be posted like that.
Yeah, I'm recording my screen here with my camera and as well as my phone, depending on how I want to repurpose it later. Yeah.
Interesting.
Just
man.
My side. I'm not recording you.
I should be doing that, man. I should be having a little tripod up so I can get both. I'm doing is just waiting for the AI to come out so that I can have it automatically spliced so it's down the middle, have it vertical based on the horizontal video that we're running now.
Totally.
Yeah. That's cool as hell, man. I like that. So when it comes to taking people from the video, let's say you've got people watching the long form content, how do you get them to actually become customers into your sales funnel? Where do you move them, and what tool do you use? What lead magnets do you find work the best in terms of bringing people from the long form content to an offer of some sort?
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the podcast, and I want to let you know that I've got a free book that you can get if you want to tap into more of these resources, and you can get that for free at kylesbook.com. Back to the podcast.
That's a great question. So with long form, it's a lot easier. It's like if people are sitting with you for 45 minutes, there's a level of trust there that's a lot, especially if every week they're showing up for your podcast or whatever. Like there's a level of trust there. And so if you give anything helpful, there's a link down in the description, 20% off, like stuff like that just works really well on YouTube, on podcasts. I'm a part of a mastermind right now. I'm paying $500 a month to be a part of a mastermind. And I signed up for that based on a podcast episode, right? Because I'd been sitting with him for several months, for a whole year, you know, listening to the podcast. And then he's like, I got a mastermind. Yeah, I need this right now. And I'll go and buy that thing. I'm never going to do that from watching a short.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Mm. And so it just the length of time just makes it easy. You can subtle sell and just say, hey, you know, if you're interested or if you have these needs, go check out my website. Or if you have a launch or a course launch or something, you can hard sell it too. And I think either way, you kind of experiment with what works for your niche. But the most important thing is making your podcast focused on what people want to hear, what they want to listen to, their pain points. And that's, I think, the hardest part of the battle, not making it about you, but making it about what they need.
Right. So how do you know what content to, it's back to the first question, but it's really crucial that we get this right. How do you know, going back to the analytics, like we said, right? How do we know what content to start generating so that it's going to be well received by the audience? And so the way you could do that is, but people are lazy, man. It's a pain in the ass, really, to go find the competitors, find what worked for them, the top viewed videos, and then be able to make content, especially in podcast format, because you never really know where the podcasts are going to go, at least the way that I do them, which I love because it's so organic. You never know where you're going to go. But how do you know how to really get that title that's going to get clicks when you do post that content?
That's a great question. So there's a few tools. I mean, if you're doing YouTube, there's a tool called vidIQ, which is really awesome for YouTube. And it does have some AI tools in there where if you're like, here's what my video is about, it'll give you some title ideas. Or you can build a chatbot in ChatGPT, train it to do really good, you know, really good titles. I think titles matter more for YouTube long form, and for podcasts don't really matter at all for shorts because people just scroll into your video, right? They're not like going out and finding it really. You want to keep it short. You know, 7 characters or shorter, I think you're going to find more success with a title. It's
7
interesting
characters. Damn, man, that's a short title. You need 7 words, right?
I'm talking about YouTube. Yeah, I guess with a podcast, I don't know. I really don't know.
No, 7 words is good. But you said 7 characters. I was thinking, damn, man.
Oh, no. Yeah, 7 words.
Picture what that would look like.
7 characters. 7 characters. Yeah, it's a challenge. No, 7 words. That's funny. I think I heard Sean Connell. He's the guy, he runs Think Media. I heard him last week speak, and he was talking about how you can use numbers in weird ways, and some of his best videos have done that. So instead of saying like $100,000 in 1 week, if that's not interesting enough, you could say like, I make $239 every hour or something, right? And you kind of divide it up into weird chunks of numbers, and he's found a lot more clicks that way, which I think was interesting. And then focusing on the pain, like I have a client who's he's a psychiatrist, and the videos that do the best are the ones that really speak to the pain people are feeling when they're trying to find the solution, right? And so rather than a positive title, it's like a negative title, like avoid these mistakes, right? People are, would rather avoid the pain than than get the thing right. It's that whole. And so, yeah, focusing on pain points really helps. And then once they're in the video, you can help calm down their fears and calm down their pain. But I think getting them to the video, I think it's totally okay to use some of those pain points and those fears and reach out to them that way.
Mm. All right. So when it comes to the actual posting of the content, do you have a schedule that you follow for long-term and short-term? I mean, what kind of a posting schedule should we follow?
There's not like a secret sauce. I think it's as much content as you can possibly do. So if you can afford to post a video a day for shorts, I think that's great. I probably wouldn't do more than that because that's a lot of energy to do more than that when you could start working on your long form. My most profitable clients are probably posting shorts every day and then a long form three times a week. Some of that's a podcast. Some of that's a YouTube video. But yeah, once a week podcast, once a day shorts, that's a pretty awesome strategy. If you can afford it, right? But it's like as much as you can afford. If you're a big company and you're like, yeah, we really need to get this organic up and running in a year instead of in 3 years, then post every day long form, you know, post three times a week short podcasts, and you can kind of hack it. I had clients a couple years ago who were in crypto right when the hype was like happening. So it was like the end of the crypto bubble, right? And they really needed to grow really fast so they could get an investor before the crash, right? Because then they would be able to last through this season where the markets were down. And so they were like, we're going to post three times a day. And at that time, it was working really well at TikTok. Like you could grow even faster. And so we did three times a day, every day for like 3 months. And that's like 90 pieces of content in a month. That's a lot, right? But they could afford it and it was working. It was worth it. And so why not sprint if you can, right?
Mm. What's your ideal client? Who's your, you said psychiatrist, you've got a plethora of different industries that you're working with. So
I have worked in a lot of different industries.
Yeah, man. So who's your typical client? Like the one you can best serve with this kind of a content posting?
Personal brands and health coaches are now my niche that I'm targeting. And the reason being is a lot of times they're solopreneurs. These are people who they don't have a big team. And so we can get a lot more done. You know, when I've worked with a big team, there's just so much more red tape, more people to get approvals on. And we end up never getting all the content out that we want to. And so when I'm working with just a solopreneur, they're busy, but I can get them down to one film day. It saves them a ton of time. We can knock it all out in one film day. And there's a lot less red tape, a lot more creativity. So I love the personal brand aspect. I also love that they can be experts in one thing. Like if you've got a nutritionalist who does Hashimoto's, like that's real specific versus, you know, it's just easy to find a niche in the health coach space. And those who are making money or have a course already, they already know really well what their niche is. And so it's easy to transfer that over to organic and to systematize their organic. So that's some of the reasons the other reason I like it is it's a challenge, right? Like I'll have a doctor come to me and be like, yeah, I have this like doctor degree and whatever, and I'm, you know, really good at this like endocrinology thing,
but I can't
like,
market.
I've never
it
heard
shit.
Of it, but
in a month, to market the damn thing.
Yeah, but in a month, I can figure out like, okay, here's what endocrinology is. Here's how to talk to it to normal people, and I like that it is a little bit challenging to really learn new health niche and there's less competition for me as an agency if I'm serving doctors because it's hard work. So yeah.
As opposed to the typical chiropractors that every other agency tries to serve because they're the ones that it's the kind of the cliche almost when it comes to starting an agency. Sure. That's the target audience everybody goes for, including me in 2016. That's the target audience that I ran to. Yeah. But yeah, you've got a more eclectic style of
they've
got
to be able to be the expert in their field, right? It doesn't work if you're the local podiatrist. You have to be like the one podiatrist in the country who treats kids with a certain disease. Like if you've got an expert that can go nationwide or worldwide, that's when it's really fun. And that can be traditional medicine or non-traditional medicine, really. But you've got to have that kind of larger ability to serve a larger audience. And that's why health coaches is the right. actual term I'm using now instead of doctors, because these are people who they see themselves as coaches, whether that's group coaching or courses, because that's scalable.
Okay. So let's say that I've taken the data for filming the content. I've based that on the analytics of what have worked either in my past or for my competitors. And then I'm posting that, let's say, three long form content pieces per week, as well as a short every day. What is the next step once I have that infrastructure built?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. If I repeat it one more time.
So I've got everything. I've got the content done. It's being posted hopefully automatically, three times a day, three times a week for the long form, one time a day for the shorts, like you were talking about.
Yes.
What's my next step in terms of bringing this to the next level?
Yeah. So, I mean, you're really never done creating content, because right. you're going to get that up and running. And then you're like, sweet, I finally got a month scheduled. And then you're like, oh, it took me a month to get a month scheduled. I need to start on the next month. So the idea is rinse and repeat. You look at your analytics from the first month. What right. did good? What did bad? What do we want to repeat? What was energizing to me? All of that. And you put in that, do we have any launches coming up? Let's put in content about that. And you know, you make your next content schedule, you do your next film day. And every time, just try to experiment with something new. So you might be doing, you know, videos about the news in your niche. You might be doing tutorials. You might be doing a few skits. You're like, what else could we try? And maybe you throw in a new type of content, like reaction videos on that next month, and react to people's content that's already working well. Try that out. If it works well that month, then you keep that and you get rid of another type. And, you know, you're just always experimenting and rinsing and repeating. And then with YouTube, it's the same thing. You're working on your thumbnails. You're like, oh, this thumbnail worked, this one didn't. So we got to make a better one. Same with your titles. And it's just an ever changing game of guesswork, experimentation. Oh, they might have changed the algorithm. What do they prefer now? All of that.
Oh man, keeping up with the algorithmic changes is a pain in the ass. You never know what they changed, or why it's not working one day when it worked last week. I don't like that at all. It's a major pain. How do you get around that? What's a way that you can go about not having to worry about the algorithm so much? How do you look at that whole process? Because it's out of your control at the end of the day. So what do you do in that case?
It is. I mean, the algorithm, the cliche thing to say is, right, focus on your audience instead of the algorithm, right? And I totally get that. And if your strategy is larger than just one platform, you really can do that. You can focus on, what are their needs? What are their pain points? And they changed TikTok algorithm, but guess what? My content still reached the people on Instagram who like me, and they reached the people on YouTube who like me. And so if you're everywhere, you can kind of get around the algorithm changes a lot easier, because you're still reaching the people. But if you're like really trying to grow on a certain platform, like TikTok, for example, and right now they're doing videos over 3 minutes, then you just got to ride the wave. And whenever they announce a new feature, you kind of got to hop on that for a little while. And until they get over it and go back to what's, you know, always worked for them. It's always how it, like TikTok, Instagram did the same thing when they announced their shop, and then they announced new story features, and then they just always change new things. It's popular for a while, and then it goes back to kind of the status quo. And so it's fine to ride those waves if you're getting specific. But my main philosophy with social media is this, is that you should focus on the creation over the optimization. And so I'm focusing on creating a new piece of content that I can share with the world, because that takes a lot of time and energy. And I'd rather focus my time and energy on creating a new piece of content than on, what SEO keywords can I use on YouTube to hack their new algorithm change? Or, how can I advance myself on only TikTok? I'd rather speak to my audience and get it out on every platform and not optimize for any platform. I think that's a better approach.
What you just said there, dude, can be a wicked short, because you just said that answer was killer. So take the last 45 seconds, the last 30 seconds of what you just said. Bam, you got some content there. You can hit stop and start on your recording. So that time stamped.
Get that going.
That's funny as hell, man. So one other question that I have is, when it comes to automating and building your team so that you can just focus on the creation of the content rather than having to focus on the posting of it, the analytical side of it. If you, I mean, me personally, I'm a creative. I don't want to be working on the analytics. It's just not not my gig, you know, I don't enjoy it. So let's say for me, because I feel like this is a situation that a lot of creators would find themselves in. Let's say that you're thinking about hiring a project manager or a team manager, a content manager on Upwork, for example. What are some of the things that you would list side by side that would go about being best automated or taken care of by another individual, like on Upwork, for example? What are some of the things that you would hire out for?
Well, if it's short form content, you shouldn't go to Upwork. You should just hire me is really
Okay, yeah,
the
fair enough.
No, I'm just messing. Yeah, I've had the best success hiring for full time instead of part time. So I totally get the Upwork thing. It's like, oh, I got this one project, but like, if you can pull it off for like 1 month, I hire a full time editor for just 1 month, somewhere. It could be overseas. It could be more affordable. That's great. But try to find someone for 1 month that you can train to get a little bit better. Give them all your projects and just trust them. And if they send something back crappy, it's like they do on ChatGPT, you give it revisions and you send it back, right? Like if you can just learn how to train and hire and do that one time for 1 month, you're going to find that in that 1 month, you've saved so much time on editing that now all of a sudden you've got more clients coming in and you can keep them for the second month. And like it's a huge shift when you have editors and you've outsourced your editing. So I would recommend going full time. You're going to find more high quality work because you know, workers who have a lot of experience, they don't want a part-time job. They want full-time work for the most part. And then you can find someone that you can train on your operating procedures, on your style, on what you do for clients. They can get better and better each month. I've been with the same employees for 2 years now. I have two full-time that have been with me for 2 years, and they can read my mind. I can send them something and they know exactly what we need for it, what we need for the clients. It's awesome. It's game changer. All my clients get better work each month because I have the same editors, and that's huge value to my clients as well. So I can't speak enough about hiring a full-time editor.
Yeah, man, me too. I got a couple of brothers that the same thing. They can read my mind. They know exactly what I'm talking about before I do it. And I'm like, man, like I don't know what I'd do without you now, man. Like, hell. So when it comes down to that, is really fostering that familial feeling within the organization so that they don't leave you, and you know, paying them just enough so they don't leave, but then not too much so that you can hire somebody that's local, for example. But what are some other things that you hire for as apart from editing? What about the content titling or looking at the analytics and generating content ideas? What are some other things that you hire for?
Right now I have a few clients that I do a lot for. And so I like to manage all the strategy stuff. So when it comes to like actual content ideas, I really enjoy that part of it. The actual scripting, like sometimes I'll outsource scripting if we have a ton of scripts. But I like to be involved in the strategy work. And then if it's busy work, if it feels like editing or posting, for example, that's the stuff I like to outsource. So I've hired posters, I've hired editors more than anything. And then maybe like a asset manager or like a project manager to just keep everything organized, right? But I usually manage the front end stuff, the planning, the scripting, the content ideas.
So, I mean, we've covered pretty much the majority of the process from creation of the content to some systems to post it, hiring you for the short-term editing. We've got the whole shebang going on. What's one thing that I should have asked you but didn't ask? What's one thing that I missed that it would provide the maximum amount of value if I would have asked it?
Yeah, you asked about lead magnets, and I didn't touch on that. And I think that would be valuable to kind of touch on, because any social media strategy, any podcast, like it's great to put the content out there, but ultimately you want them to become a paying
Of
customer,
course.
right? And a lot of times, like people think that, you know, if they're a loyal follower, they'll just buy whatever. But I think we've seen marketing change so much in the last several years to where now people are giving away so much for free to get that sale. Courses that used to cost $1,000 are now like the free version, and then you give something even bigger on the end. And so that, especially for in the course creator space, what I've seen is this change from your low ticket offer to a little bit higher, to a little bit higher, to now everything's free except for the big thing. And I think that's the way to get people's trust right now. In the current economy, current marketing landscape, it's really Everything is free. It's Hormozy talks about this, right? And he really shows it more than he talks about it.
Yeah, true.
By example, it's you give all the information away for free, and the only thing you're selling is the implementation. And so I'm going to teach every tool about short form video that I possibly can. I'm going to give you all the tools that I use, the AI, everything. I mean, you give away all my hacks, how to hire, all of that. But if you want it done for you, then you work with my agency. Like, that's really the only thing I offer. And so freebies, just give away as much for free as you possibly can. And then they're going to see the value in hiring the expert. You know, the right people will show up. So that's just what I've seen work really well.
Right. So instead of giving away, because, you know, the classic free book funnel for a free plus shipping, even then moving them through the funnel,
yeah,
you're saying to pivot away from that now and move towards giving everything away for free in terms of information. What I'm wondering is how you make that pivot from, let's say, free information absorption to a paying client, a high ticket paying client. How do you make that pivot? What do you use, a webinar in between? What's the intermediary tool?
Yeah, for me, I use like PDF downloads I've experimented with. And then, I mean, the sales call is what I want, right? I want them to get on that call. And so if it's a free sales call, then like you're likely to get signups when you've given all that stuff away for free.
Yeah.
And sometimes even from a short, I'll have people hop over. Like, my funnel is not a good example because every marketer is good at what they're doing for their clients, but they suck at doing it for themselves, right?
Probably I've had done no shoes, baby. That's the way it works. Yeah, it's funny, man.
Yeah, I've done short form, and I don't have my own long form set up yet. And so for me, I'll get people coming in from a sales call from short form. They'll get my PDF or whatever, and then they'll sign up for a sales call because they want the help, and they know if I'm the one giving away the information, I'm the one who knows how to do it for them.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of
What about webinars? Have you experimented with that as a transitional or that pivot moment? So you can automate the sales process?
Webinars are tough. And now we're moving into like course and ads space too, because a lot of funnels will go from, like, if you're running ads, it usually goes to a webinar or to a low ticket offer or something. And just from what I've seen and my ads guy who I've talked to, you know, I think that space is changing as well. Like, the webinars are it's harder to have a high converting webinar nowadays. Like, shorter is better than longer, which is weird. It depends on the space, and you've got to experiment. But I think a lot of the funnels I've seen, a shorter VSL, video sales letter, works a lot better than a long webinar where you hard sell them at the end, like Russell Brunson style. Like, that stuff isn't working quite so much. And again, if your funnel's up and running and it's working great, then you're like rolling your eyes at me right now. But launching a new funnel, I think, is tough, and people are used to seeing the same old webinar script, and I think we're moving away from that.
Interesting, man. So you're saying VSL, like free content, build that trust, build the authority, build that reciprocity up, and then move them to a VSL, which sends them to a phone call? Or because, I mean, it's hard to sell a high ticket product with a VSL, right? Usually it's, you know, lower tier with a VSL. So
yeah, well, a high ticket product, phone? You're gonna have to sell them on the phone anyway, right? You can try the webinar and you can try the VSL and kind of see what works, but I haven't seen a magic webinar script that's still working right now. I guess my point is that, like, that whole Russell Brunson model is kind of, we're experimenting with new stuff. I think the whole what was it, the Russell Brunson conference that they do, it's like the ClickFunnels something, I forget what they call that conference. But my buddies came back from it, and they were like, the whole time, all they were talking about was MIFGIs, which is called the most valuable gift ever, or something like that. Where you're, is that what it's called? I forget. Anyway, it's where you're just giving away free stuff throughout the whole funnel. And so, you know, even the old Russell Brunson model, they're moving away from like all these micro payments and like upselling this, upselling that, and they're moving toward free everything and give them away this, give them away this, give them away that. And yeah, I think that's what we're seeing.
It still comes down to the making the sale, that pivot from free value to paying client. But I think you got a great point, which is you're providing value in a way that other people aren't. You're providing that content, and you're at the same time, kind of as a byproduct, proving your expertise in the industry by being the one that provides the free content. And then by the time they get on the sales call, if that's the way that you want to sell them, they are already looking up to you. They've already got that trust for you. And the reciprocity bias, I mean, there's all sorts of things that go into the psychological aspect of how they look at you when they're on the call with you by the time that they've absorbed all your content. So the closing rates skyrocket, and it becomes hopefully more of an order-taking process than it does a sales process, because they trust you already. And yeah, man, I love
I
it.
mean,
So
you've and with content, you've been able to kind of, they're warm by now, right?
right.
You don't have to have a sales rep on the phone with them for very long because you've already talked to them in that short and talked to them in that long, and they've been following you for months or whatever. Like, so especially with video content, like people will show up to a call, I've never met them, and they like trust me a ton, and they're having a conversation with me, like, oh yeah, I saw that thing you said the other day. I was like, never talked to you. But the content is a great way to kind of warm them to that. And especially, I mean, we're talking about, for me, I'm a service-based industry, business where what I offer is the actual doing it for you. And so it doesn't make sense for me to sell a $27 book when I really just want them to pay my agency. Like, that's not gonna make much of a difference. So I'd rather give it away for free. They trust me more now, and then they're more likely to buy.
Yeah, damn right, man. I think you just said it all. I think we walked through most of the process from content creation to posting to building that audience up. And what about timelines? We'll leave it with this. How long would you expect to wait until, let's say, you're posting on YouTube the long form content 3 times a week? How long would it take to start to build that momentum up? Because you got to be patient, right? You said 3 years or something in terms of the YouTube channel. What should you expect in terms of milestones mixed with time?
I think in 6 months, you can really start to make a dent and see what's working, what's not. You start to get your followers and you start to get a little bit of traction. It's going to take a lot of time on YouTube, right? YouTube is probably the hardest of all the platforms we're talking about, and it depends on your niche. I have a psychiatrist. I've mentioned him a couple of times. He's my favorite client right now because he's making a
I
lot of
can
money.
tell.
Yeah, he's my favorite. He's making a lot of money. So he last January, so over a year now, he started posting Zoom calls, like Zoom call podcasts up on YouTube. Really lame thumbnails, but the niche was so specific and the need was there. No one else was making content on YouTube that like his engagement was great. Even when he had 500 followers, he had like, 10 comments or whatever. Like, okay, this is gonna work at scale if people are really loving this. And so in March is when I hopped on board and we started doing shorts every day on every platform, as well as long form and posting as a podcast. So we kind of scaled up the organic to being everywhere. And within 4 or 5 months, he quit like three other full-time jobs that he was working, which he was crazy. And he was making this 60K a month from leads from just organic. I think last month he made
Wow.
$130,000
Just organic. Holy shit.
just organic. That's his only marketing, is just organic. So in 6 months going hard, he was super profitable, right? And he had a very specific niche, obviously, and his business might be different than others, but for a high ticket offer, that's what it looked like for him. In 6 months, he was already looking like the expert in that little space. He still only has, I think, 16,000 followers, like over a year later,
Wow.
16,000 followers on YouTube, a very small following, very small niche. But he's making way more than some of my clients who had a large following, but a generic niche, right? And so that's just what I'm seeing is YouTube. It takes time, but it's definitely the highest converting, as far as, yeah, once you have the following.
Because like you said, you're building up the trust over a long period of time with the long form content, man. It makes sense when you think about it. So, brother,
Yeah, for
dude,
sure.
thank you so much for being here, man. I had a blast with you. We went through a step-by-step process I think anybody can take and be able to formulate a content strategy around. Anything else you want to add before we kick this off here, buddy?
No, I think this is great.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that podcast episode. And if you want to get a free copy of my book, go to kylesbook.com and you can get a copy there. I'll talk with you soon.